Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC presents Life with a Laugh. And all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. When we hear the immortal words of Shakespeare, we often wish we had lived in his time. However, we're going to meet a man who really did. So let's go over now and see Ben.
Shakespeare also said, "I will praise all men who praise me." But that doesn't hold good in this house. Whenever my family starts showering me with compliments, it never goes to my head. So when my daughter told me she needed a brilliant actor producer for the play she was putting on, I didn't fall for it. At least not right away.
Barbara, what play are you putting on this year?
Our dramatic club has decided on Treasure Island. We're adapting it from the famous book by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Oh. Did you get the author's permission?
Mother, he's dead.
Oh, which one? Robert Louis or Stevenson?
All three of them.
Oh, an epidemic, huh?
No, it was sort of a suicide pact.
Oh, Daddy, you say the cleverest things.
What do you want, Barbara?
Oh, nothing, darling. I was just telling Mother that Treasure Island is such a wonderful play that it needs a great producer like you.
You aren't pulling the well-known wool over my eyes this time.
Oh, I'm not trying to. I was merely going to say that we need your talent, both as a producer and actor, because you're so brilliant, artistic, capable, and so incredibly handsome.
Well, that's different. At first, I thought you were going to flatter me.
As if I could. I'd like you to name any other man who's as brilliant an actor-producer as you are. Go on.
Well,
How about Noel Coward?
Who asked you?
Daddy, you'll be sensational. Please say you'll do it.
Well, honey, since it means so much to you, I will.
Oh, I love you.
Now, stop it, honey. You're getting lipstick all over my face.
Hey, Barbara, I've just finished reading your play about Treasure Island, and it's super.
You're right, especially that part where Jim Hawkins gets the map of the buried treasure and sets sail on the good ship Hespanola.
Yes. Can't you just see that great hulk speeding toward the island with the wind behind her mizzenmast and her enormous boom swinging from side to side?
Oh, is Flory in this, too?
Barbara, did you say we were all going to be in the play?
Of course.
Then I'd like to play Long John Copper.
You mean Long John Silver.
Silver? Copper? What does it matter as long as it's money?
Oh, I'm sorry, Richard, but somebody else is playing that part.
Yes, indeed. It takes a great actor to handle the role of John Silver.
Oh, gosh, I played a big part in Barbara's play last year.
Yes, and you were as eloquent as an oyster.
Eloquent? What's that?
Well, what your sister's trying to tell you is this. Last year, you distinguished yourself as the world's most appalling thespian.
Oh, I thought you meant I was a lousy actor.
Well, let's just say you'll never be the artist your father is.
Your father was a great actor. Did I ever tell you children about his early days in the theater?
I'll bet hundreds of people used to wait outside the stage door for Daddy.
Oh, they did. And one terrible night, they almost caught him.
Your mother means they used to mob me like they do Johnny Ray.
Oh, that's right. And they'd put him on their shoulders and they'd walk all over town with him and then they'd dump him in the lake.
Barbara, do you mind telling me why you took my coal box out of my kitchen?
Oh, we need it for the treasure chest, Aggie.
Well, I'm sorry, but I need it for my coal.
Well, I didn't think you'd mind. You see, you have a very nice part, and it's an excellent play.
Yeah, it's all about people who go in search of a treasure in an exotic, beautiful paradise.
Oh, and what do they do when they get to Glasgow?
Aggie, he's talking about Treasure Island.
I was only joking. Glasgow may be a beautiful paradise, but it's not exotic.
I sure hope the show's going to be a big success.
Oh, you don't have to worry. Miss Barbara let me read the story this morning, and it's wonderful. Believe me, your play's as safe as houses.
And Daddy's producing it.
Well, there go the foundations.
What was that?
Oh, I said, there you go, laying the foundations for success.
Pop's playing a part, too.
You mean the part? And what a mixture of emotions John Silver is.
Oh, but Daddy, I
don't... A villain with a heart of gold. With my performance, I shall get the sympathy of the audience, eh, B.B.?
Well, I hope so, dear.
Well, I think I'll take Skeeter for a walk and practice my limp. Come on, my little fur friend.
Daddy sure is in a good mood.
Yes, but I don't think he's going to be too happy when he hears Mr. Wimple is playing Long John.
Oh, that's awful.
Poor Pop. He's always taking it on the chins.
Barbara, you just have to ask Mr. Wimple to play another part.
I'll try, but it won't be easy. He got the theater for us.
Oh, Barbara, I told everybody to be here at 8 o'clock for the rehearsal.
Oh, Mother, I wish you hadn't. It's 7:30 now, and I haven't spoken to Mr. Wimple yet. And you know he set his heart on playing the pirate chief.
Well, so is your father. He just took the dog for another walk with a patch over his eye and a black scarf around his head.
Oh, poor Skeeter. He must have looked ridiculous.
I'm talking about your father.
Hi there, me hearties.
Well, hello, Mr. Wimple.
The name's Long John Silver, but you can call me Long for short.
Well, thank you, Mr. Short. Won't you sit down?
Start. I wish the others would hurry. I can't wait to start reading my part.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Yo-ho, and a bottle of,
rum.
Yes, please, and a little ginger ale.
You know, Mr. Wimple, I've been thinking about your playing the pirate chief, and I really...
So have I. In fact, I've been thinking about it all day.
Oh, so you're worried about it, eh?
I'm worried about it.
Well, then you better play something else.
Oh, yes, you'd be perfect for Squire Trelawney or Dr. Lacey.
Hang on a minute. I smell a rat.
Well, it's nice to have a hobby.
I mean, I think you two are trying to talk me out of playing John Silver.
Now, why should we do a thing like that?
I don't know. Because if I don't get the part, you don't get the theater.
Well, since you put it so nicely, of course you'll get the part.
Good. Then I'll pop on back home and pick up the missus. Well, toodaloo, mate.
15 men on a dead man.
Now we'll have to talk Daddy out of playing this. But how?
Well, what's the next best part?
Let's see. Ben Gunn, the old beachcomber.
Oh, hi there, Mr. Bates. With the yard arm. Splice me braces. Shiver me kneecaps.
Ben, you know, I've been thinking about your playing that pirate, and I don't like the idea.
Why not?
Well, dear, it's dangerous, you see. You have a lot of battle scenes, and you have to walk around with a big knife stuck in the belt of your trousers.
So what?
Well, you might suddenly sit down and cut off your retreat.
Hey, Barbara, haven't you got a better part for me than Squire Trelawney?
Richard, I'm ashamed of you. This is for charity. What the...
Now I feel like a heel.
You should.
Oh, I'm so glad you look at it like that, Daddy. Because Mr. Wimple set his heart on playing Long John Silver. And anyway, Ben Gunn is a much better part for you.
Oh, yes, much easier, dear. You won't even have to change your first name.
Look, baby. Gunn is an old beachcomber with a long white beard. He's a doddering old idiot.
Well, that's what I call perfect casting.
Hi.
Pop, you said the part didn't matter.
And it doesn't as far as I'm concerned. No matter what I play, I'm going to give Treasure Island everything I've got.
Don't, Laurie, you'll sink it.
Now then, stop that.
Oh, leave him alone, darling. I don't mind his little joke.
Oh, you're so sweet. Every time someone pulls your leg, you turn the other cheek.
Oh, some of the cast will have to double. So, Aunt Flory, I'm putting you down for one of the pirates as well as Captain Smollett.
Oh, good. I'm so glad I'm going to have more than one outstanding part.
You always have.
Daddy, please. Oh, now, Richard, here's your part. And remember, you'll have to use an English accent.
Well, you don't have to be beastly about it, old gal.
What's the matter, Daddy? You don't look very happy.
Well, I don't know why. He has the most dramatic scene in the whole play. Daddy, you're shipwrecked, all alone on Skeleton Island. And when the crew of the Española find you, you're begging for cheese.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, please listen. You've been starved for companionship. You haven't seen a woman for 3 years.
Then I step off the ship and into his arms.
Oh, dear. Aunt Flory, you're playing a man. You can't make love to Daddy.
Then I'll take the part.
Good. We can start rehearsals as soon as the Wimples arrive.
Thank you. Does everyone know who they're playing?
I think so, Daddy. Mrs. Wimple and I are two of the mutineers. She's Black Dog, and I'm Seacock. And Richard Squire Trelawney.
Absolutely correct, old girl. And I gather Dr. Livesey will be played by you, Maker.
Righto, eh? Cod song the crows.
Just play the part the way it's written, B.B. Whipple, now, don't forget Long John Silver had only one leg. You'll have to walk with a limp.
I'll try, but it's very difficult to act with something missing.
Don't be silly. B.B.'s been doing it for years.
Horace, you have to carry a parrot, too.
Well, where is it?
We'll have one tomorrow.
Now, come on, let's get on with the play. I'd like to take the stockade scene first. That's page 38 in your script. Now then, you've already landed on the island, and Jim Hawkins and his friends are inside the stockade waiting for the mutineers to attack. Jim Hawkins yells defiantly,
"Have a care, you villains.
Have a care, you villains."
Fine, fine. Now, Long John Silver and the mutineers start shouting,
"Bloodthirsty threat.
Bloodthirsty threat. Bloodthirsty threat. Bloodthirsty threat."
I don't mean that literally. Stupid actors. Now, Richard, this is where you come out of the hut and sit on your chest.
That's a good trick if he can do it.
Robin, now you be quiet here.
Now, don't forget, everybody, I want plenty of action in the scene. Mm-hmm. When Richard sits down, the shooting starts and two fall to the ground wounded.
But, Pop, we haven't got any guns yet.
And I'm darned if I'm going to fall down in my new dress.
No, me.
What actors? Well, for the time being, just say bang when you shoot and thud when you're supposed to fall down. Okay?
Okay.
All right, yes.
Now, continue on. Go on. Wimple, you speak next.
Ahoy there, Captain Smollett. You and your lily-livered friends had better hand out that treasure.
Silver, you'll get no treasure from me. You're not dealing with any milk and water, Captain. I'm a real man.
I've often suspected that.
Now come along, shipmate. Let's attack. Follow me.
Here they come. Open fire, men.
Aye, aye, Captain Smollett.
Bang.
Fud. Good stuff, Squire Trelawney. Now watch this. Bang.
Whipple, she shot you.
Oh, yes. Fud.
Mr. Wimple, you should bring your plaid closer to my bang.
Say, what a revolting thought.
Now, never mind the joke. Get on with the play.
Give me that musket. Bang!
Dagger! Thud!
Oh, Squire Trelawney's been hurt. Dr. Livesey, come quickly. Dr. Livesey, where are you?
I'm on the bottom of page 4.
Mommy, read your line.
Oh, all right. You have a nasty wound there, Squire. In order to remove the bullet, I must ask you to please turn over.
Phoebe, for heaven's sake, don't read the directions. Go on, Richard.
Don't worry about me, good doctor. Help the others to defend the stockade.
Aye, aye, Squire.
Here come those villains again.
Bang!
Thud!
Bang, thud!
Hold it, everybody, hold it. Dr. Livesey, you just shot yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. I guess I'm a little mixed up.
You can say that again.
All right, I'm a little mixed up. I don't think we're going to get any place until we all learn our lines.
Well, at least it can't be any worse.
Then if you'll excuse me, I'll run along home. The outfitters are delivering my costume, and I want to try it on. Toodaloo.
Horace, wait. Aren't you forgetting me?
Well, I was doing the best. But obviously it won't work. Come on, Wilhelmina.
Here's your pirate's costume, Horace.
Ah, my little barnacle. I'll unwrap it.
Oh, I was very proud of the way you spoke your lines at rehearsal. Anyone would have thought you were a professional.
Well, I've never told you this, Wilhelmina, but I tried once to become a comedian. I joined a touring review and everything was all right until the show went to Paris.
What happened?
Well, I walked on the stage and told my first joke in French. I don't know what I said, but I told the second one in the police station.
Stop fibbing and try on your costume.
Okie doke. Now, help me on with this sea boot.
Ahoy there! Sail on the starboard bow!
Blimey, what was that?
Oh, that's Ethel. Ever since I told them we were acting in Treasure Island, she and David have been playing pirates.
Heave-ho! Hoist the mainsail across the beach-hole!
Aye, aye, sir.
Hello, little kiddie-widdies. I see you're being very nautical.
Oh, no. We are being very goodical.
And we know all about fighting at sea.
Now, darlings, just play quietly while your father tries on the rest of his costume.
All right, Mum. Come on, Dancy.
I said, the headscarf's all right, Wilhelmina. Now I'll try on the eye patch. There now. How's that?
Oh, you do look villainous. And there'll be that patch over one eye. You'll only be able to see half of me.
Well, then I'd better wear two patches.
Stop taking the mickey and hold out your arms so that I can help you on with this coat.
Ah. Oh, dear. It feels a bit tight under
the... Dad, I'm made of a sea shanty. Shall I sing it?
You do, and I'll knock your body. Sing it, David, darling.
All right. With a yo-ho-ho and a hee-ho-hum, I'll tell you a tale of a sea-ho-hum. The boy did on the burning deck, the heat he did not mind, but oh, the awful pain he felt when the flames burned his sea, yo-ho-ho. And that is the tale of a sea-ho-hum.
Oh, thank you, David. Now just run along.
Second verse.
Enough of this silly little buccaneer.
How could you be so nasty when my little boy is singing about the ship?
Well, if he doesn't pipe down, he'll get a smack in the puss.
And if you don't finish trying on this costume, we'll never learn our parts in time. The play opens on Saturday.
Oh, you're right.
Robin, will you ask everybody to come on the stage as soon as they can?
Okay, Barbara.
Oh, tell them the curtain's going up in 5 minutes.
I will.
Why haven't you put your makeup on yet, Daddy?
Because I'm not on until the last scene, remember?
Well, Barbara, how do I look as Captain Smollett?
Why, Aunt Florrie, what a beautiful naval uniform.
All the actors are coming, and here's Long John Silver's parrot.
Oh, I hope they hurry. We have to ring up the curtain in 3 minutes.
3 minutes! 3 minutes!
Robin, keep that darn parrot quiet. It says everything except what it's supposed to say.
What is it supposed to say?
Pieces of eight, pieces of eight. I've never seen such a terrible actor.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Don't you get smart with me, you hook-nosed feather duster. Hello?
Aunt Florrie, I just looked through the curtain, and guess who's sitting in the front row? Brian Lupino, the TV producer.
I know. When I saw him come in, I went all to pieces.
Pieces away! Big pieces away!
You know, that bird's smarter than I thought.
Well, bless your little barnacle hip.
Then, do I look all right?
Oh, you look splendid, Dr. Livesey.
Very nice. Very nice.
How about me, Polly?
Wind, lion, fell, angel.
Just one more crack out of you and you'll be stuck.
Josh!
Where's Richard? He's holding everything up.
Where's Richard? Open the door, Richard!
Here I am, old thing. Anyone care for a pinch of snuff?
Don't tell me we actually got snuff in that little silver box.
Oh, don't worry, Aunt Florrie. I filled it with pepper.
Pepper? Oh, for heaven's sake, close it.
Richard, close that box or you'll have us all seizing our heads off.
Seizing our heads off.
Now be quiet, everybody. The orchestra is about to start.
Ben, is this where I make my entrance?
Yes, anchors away, Florrie.
Daddy, the play's going fine. Hear how quiet the audience is?
They've probably gone to sleep.
Jim Hawkins, Where are you, lad?
Did you want me, John Silver?
Aye, aye.
Now, how would you like to earn yourself a nice, bright, silver, fourpenny piece?
Very much indeed.
Then, whilst the captain is topside missing his finish, go below to his cabin and fetch me the map of Treasure Island.
Oh, I couldn't do that, Mr. Silver. No one is allowed to look at the map for the doctor and Squire Trelawney.
Come now, get me the map, boy, and we'll share the treasure.
I'm making no deals with a bloodthirsty pirate.
Six bells and all is well.
We'll continue our little discussion later. Here comes the captain.
So long, John. Idling again, eh?
Not me, Captain. Just having a little talk with Jim here.
About what?
He wanted to see the map of the treasure.
Oh, so that's it. I'm warning you, Silver. Any man who gazes at my map will die.
You never spoke a truer word.
And don't think you can get round me. There isn't a chance.
There isn't room, either.
John Silver, go below and take your turn in the galley.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Blackguard. Captain, I think we're in terrible danger. I overheard Black Dog the Pirate say that once we land on the island, they are murderous.
He said that?
Yes. And all the men are revolting.
Oh, I don't know. The fat ginger one's rather nice.
I mean the crew are plotting to steal the treasure and take control of the ship.
Oh, so that's it.
Ah, there you are, Captain Old Boy. I understand there's a dastardly plan afoot.
Yes, we must do everything to protect ourselves.
I hear John Silver is planning a mutiny.
Yes, I always knew the blighter was a rogue. Hawkins, go fetch him here on the double.
Aye, aye, sir.
And whilst I'm waiting, I'll have a pinch of snuff to steady my nerves.
Richard, you dropped your snuff box with the pepper in it.
Captain Smart, sir, I brought Long John Silver, and it's pirate to see you.
Very fine, very fine.
Thank you, Hawkins. Silver, you know what you've been up to, and in my opinion, you're nothing but a...
What was that again?
Look out! He's got his...
Achoo!
In his hand.
Well, if he tries to use it, I'll give him a good kick in his... Achoo!
Listen, Long John, you black-bearded villain.
Achoo!
You clean-shaven villain. As soon as we get ashore, I'm going to clap you in irons.
Stand by, everyone. The curtain's going up for the second act.
No, John. My men have been digging 4 months, and still there's no sign of the treasure.
Aye, aye.
Captain Smollett, here is the old man, Ben Gunn.
Why did you send for me, Captain?
Sit down, Ben Gunn, and tell me, how long have you been marooned on this island?
3 years, but it's long enough to turn me into an old man. No one would ever think I used to be a sprightly young fellow.
He speaks the truth, and I should know. I've known Gunn ever since he was a little pistol.
Where Captain Flint's treasure is hidden. Is it in that cave?
How should I know? All Captain Flint ever gave me was the sack.
He did?
Aye, Squire, he said. Gunn, you're fired.
Now, stow the talking, Ben. Tell the crew and me where the treasure is.
I'll be hanged if I will.
You will be hanged if you don't.
Yes, to the nearest yardarm.
Shame on you men for threatening this venerable old gentleman. Just look at his long white beard.
Beware, 2 men are hiding in there.
Mother, not yet.
Well, I'm getting pretty tired of hanging around that cave.
I warn you, Silver, we'll stand no nonsense from you and your cutthroat.
Bloodthirsty threat.
Quiet, you scum. It's not our fault that the map was wrong and you dug up half the island without finding the treasure.
Be careful, Captain. That big vicious brute with the scarred face is fighting mad because he had to dig through 12 feet of solid rock.
Yes, sir. My nails are ruined.
Yes, sir. And my patience is wearing thin. Captain Smollett, it's my belief you have already found the treasure.
That's a lie. Besides, I've nowhere to hide it.
Then what's that big bulge under your shirt?
Beware, 2 men are hiding in there.
Mummy, not yet.
All right, but those men are getting awfully tired of hanging.
Well, if the captain hasn't got the loot, Ben Gunn must have it.
Oh, you're wrong, shipmate. That's my cave over there. and you're welcome to search it.
Let's start changing the scenery for Act 3.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, a message from Brian Lupino, the TV producer.
Oh, you mean he's still in the audience?
No, he just left, but he's coming back after the show because he's very anxious to sign up a certain member of the cast.
Which one?
Yeah, who is it?
He said he'd never seen anything so clever.
Josh, I didn't know I was that good. I guess he wants to make a child star out of me.
Oh, Robin, don't be silly.
It's not silly. I might be another Shirley Temple.
When I was a little girl, I looked just like Shirley Temple.
And now you look just like St. Paul's Cathedral.
There's your little pointed dome.
Quiet, amateur.
Aggie, is it Daddy who's getting the contract?
No, he wants to sign up the silly talking parrot.
Well, this is most unusual.
It certainly is. It's the first time Ben ever appeared on the stage and someone else got the bird.
Well, thank you, sweetheart.
That was Life of the Lion, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with our children, Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Richard Bellairs, Horace Percival, Bob Block, Gwen Lewis, and Peter Hawkins. The script is by Bob Block, Ronnie Hambley, and B.B. Daniels. The incidental music is by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. Production was by Tom Roberts.